Welcome to the program, God and Country, a program that examines current social, political, economic events in the light of biblical exposition. I am your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Back in March, the Supreme Court took up a lawsuit against DOMA, the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act, which prohibited federal recognition of gay marriage. And they took up a lower court's overruling of Prop 8 of California, which defined marriage as between a man and a woman. The program I did back in March covering this issue was entitled Gender Rebellion. And the Christian community was hoping that the Supreme Court would not legislate from the bench, but instead submit to the will of the people of California, in the case of Prop 8, and the will of the legislative and executive branch in regard to DOMA. But as usual, the Supreme Court overstepped its authority. As if it has authority over the other branches of government, as if the court has the power to write new law into the Constitution. So 2 weeks ago, the Supreme Court overturned Prop 8 and DOMA in a 5-4 decision. Even though DOMA was signed into law by President Clinton, passed by an overwhelming majority in the Senate, 85-14, and passed by 342 congressmen. Now, 16 years later, the justices of the Supreme Court believe gay marriage should be acceptable, overthrowing not only Prop 8 and DOMA, but thousands of years of moral precedent on the meaning of marriage. Now, concerning Prop 8, since the state of California would not defend Prop 8 before the Supreme Court, the court said that those defending the law did not have a standing. And so effectively, by not defending Prop 8, the courts voted against it. Now, concerning DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, Section 3 of DOMA was declared unconstitutional. Section 3 denies federal marriage benefits to gay couples from states that have legalized gay marriage. The courts declared that provision unconstitutional. Section 2 of DOMA was not overturned. Section 2 allows individual states not to recognize gay marriage. But as Justice Scalia said in his recent dissenting opinion, given the majority opinion of the Supreme Court in overthrowing Section 3 of DOMA, Section 2 will soon be struck down. Now, the majority opinion in this case, written by Justice Kennedy, gives us insight into how the world justifies evil. Or as the prophet Isaiah wrote, how men drag iniquity with the cords of falsehood. Kennedy wrote that DOMA was unconstitutional because it deprived homosexuals equal liberty protected by the Fifth Amendment. The key word was equality. Since the Constitution guarantees equality, it therefore must afford equality to moral depravity. The core problem was that Kennedy and the four other justices did not see anything intrinsically wrong with homosexuality. Therefore, any restrictions on homosexual behavior should be considered an unfair stigmatization, persecution, or a burden. And anyone who would deny homosexuals the same rights as heterosexuals must be doing so out of animus or bigotry. Now, Scalia, who wrote the dissent for the four justices who objected, said the following. The court is diseased because it has overstepped its role and violated separation of powers. Now, as a side note, there is definitely a double standard. For these same liberal justices who said that they would not go out of the way and overturn what the other branches of government decided in regard to Obamacare, when it now comes to gay marriage, they are more than willing to overturn the will of the legislative and executive branch. Scalia also objected to the majority calling into question the judgment of the legislative and executive branch, saying that they acted in malice against gay couples, branding gay people as unworthy. And yes, Kennedy made these accusations against those who passed DOMA. So Scalia responded with this paragraph. All these accusations of bigotry and hatred, simply for supporting an act that did no more than codify an aspect of marriage that had been unquestioned in our society for most of its existence. Indeed, had not been unquestioned in virtually all societies for virtually all of human history. Now, it's one thing for a society to elect change. It is another for the court of law to impose change by judging those who oppose it as enemies of the human race. Unquote. And that's basically what Kennedy was saying against those who believe marriage should be between a man and woman, that we are enemies of the human race. Scalia knew that ancient quote from Tertullian that the Romans called the early Christians enemies of the human race. And that was the justification for throwing the Christians to the lions. Now, what's the essence of what's going on here? Let's boil it down to the root error. It is a blatant rejection of God's written and natural revelation. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9, the wise men are put to shame. They are dismayed and caught. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what kind of wisdom do they have? And when one abandons the word of God and makes human opinion and human desires the measure of right and wrong, that is the path to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, Kennedy wrote that Congress had no rational basis for establishing the Defense of Marriage Act. In other words, from his godless point of view, there is no rational basis why homosexuality and homosexual marriages are wrong, or why heterosexual marriages are better. Because his only basis for judgment is that all things must be equal, that nobody should be disadvantaged, that nobody should be humiliated by being called wrong. C.S. Lewis, in his book Pilgrim's Regress, gives a great allegory to explain how the world, by rejecting God, is unable to determine right from wrong, good from evil. John, the main character of his story, is put into prison by a giant called the Spirit of This Age. Every day, the giant would come in with food for the prisoners and then proceed to tell the prisoners things such as, cow milk is no different than cow urine because they are both secreted from a cow. Now, John tells the giant, you are either a liar or a fool in that you see no difference between that which nature casts out as refuse and that which she stores up for food. Now, all that sounds peculiar, but it is actually a very true description of the spirit of this age. The world believes that every value, every belief, every behavior is equal. Now, Ravi Zacharias was speaking in Secaucus last week, and he was making the point that without God, you have no point of moral reference. And Ravi referred to this piece from Pilgrim's Regress and then made reference to a real example. Back in the 1980s, there was an obscenity case against the pornographer Larry Flint and Hustler magazine. In court, the lawyer for Flint asked a jury if they had ever been to a museum. Most had. And then he asked, in the museum, did they ever see pictures of naked people by some great artist like Michelangelo? The jury nodded. Then the lawyer asked the question, so what is the difference between Larry Flint's pornography and the works of Michelangelo? And nobody could answer. See, this is what happens when a society abandons God's law. They become blind and confused, and they lose any basis for discerning right from wrong, wholesomeness from perversion. Or as the prophet Ezekiel pointed out, the people were unable to make a distinction between the clean and the unclean. Good is called evil, and evil is called good, Isaiah chapter 5. Homosexuality is equal to heterosexuality. All cultures are equally good. Paganism is just as valid as Christianity. Satan worship is just as valid as Jehovah worship. And this inability to discern between good and evil is why we're in the mess we're in. When a people abandon God, there is no objective source for truth. Our world has plunged into moral ambiguity and confusion, and the world is going to learn that you cannot have religious neutrality and a godless state. Either Jesus Christ is God or Satan is God. And there's no middle ground. And that is the essence behind the gay marriage issue. Now, there are a few other biblical truths I want us to think about in regard to this recent court decision. First, I want us to understand that there is really no such thing as gay marriage. You can call an elephant a donkey, but that does not change the essence of an elephant. Changing the rhetoric does not change reality. Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 5. And Jesus answered and said, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Now, the world, in this matter of homosexuality, and in many other matters, is trying to make an alternative reality where God's laws are replaced with the opposite. This is the agenda of Satan's kingdom, to create a universe where Satan is God, man is a law unto himself, evil is good, good is evil, a world in which thou shalt have no other gods before me, or thou shalt not kill or steal or commit adultery, doesn't apply, and is acceptable in many circumstances. This is what the Bible means when it talks about the lie. It is an attempt to remake reality according to man. And the redefining of gender is one aspect of the delusion. It can be considered the final act of rebellion. Because of the power of one's biological makeup, people historically have submitted to their biological gender. But a people given over to complete rebellion to God will say, "God, you made me a man or woman, but I will rebel even against that. This was the last holdout, and we're going to even overcome it." This is why in Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul describes homosexuality as the epitome of the depraved mind given over to evil. Jude refers to homosexuality as the prime example of rebellion against God's authority. The rebellion is being able to declare one's own gender. Now, if I'm a guy, I might actually choose to be a guy. It might look like I'm submitting to God. But a people in rebellion to God want to make it known that, no, it's not by God's design, but by my choice. So straight people who are also in rebellion to God become supporters of homosexual behavior, because they support the secular ideology that man is the measure of all law. And this can be seen in the expanded title. It used to be LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. But now it is LGBTQA, the Q for those who are questioning, and the A for those who are their allies. Straight people who have the same foundational values as the homosexual community, and they are just as guilty before God. Now, according to the most extensive research by Gallup, the LGBT crowd makes up only 3.4% of the population. And one would wonder how such a small group could have such an influence on the laws of the land. Well, it's because of the homosexual allies, who are joining the spirit of rebellion against God. And depending on surveys, this is anywhere between 40 to 60% of the American people. And that's why there's a civil war in our country between those who are on God's side and those who are against God. And those who are against God and trying to make up their own reality are trying to get the government to become complicit with them in this lie. One popular performer sang the national anthem, "Land of the Free and Home of the Gay." But rest assured that no matter how much one wants to remake reality, it cannot happen. You can't defy the laws of gravity without getting hurt, and you cannot defy God's moral law without getting hurt. Homosexual marriage will never be gay in the sense of happiness, and homosexual love will never be true love. 1 Corinthians 13, true love does not act unrighteously. The gay community, in their legislative victories, have just won for themselves the right to be miserable, the right to self-destruct. Their victory is God's way of abandoning them to their own self-inflicted punishment. Furthermore, homosexuality and homosexual marriages will never be fully accepted. Not just by the small Christian community, but really by the world itself. Vladimir Putin just passed a law in Russia overthrowing gay activism and propaganda. Now, that seems strange because Russia is not known for its Christian values. But this aversion toward homosexuality is not coming from Christ. Historically, even unbelievers who decide to follow their natural gender despise the behavior of homosexuals. Even Hitler sent homosexuals to death camps. Why? Because evil always persecutes evil. Now, the homosexual community wants love, respect, kindness, tolerance found in Christianity, but they have abandoned the law of Christ. So they will not only get the immorality they desire, but everything else. The hatred, the malice, the envy, the bloodshed. Even homosexual lovers will persecute each other. And after Paul describes the sin of homosexuality in Romans chapter 1, he goes on to describe what else comes with it. A depraved mind, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. It's a package deal. As one homosexual once told a friend of mine, I don't know why they call it gay. I haven't been happy a day in my life. Now, that might not be the testimony of all homosexuals at this moment, but given enough time, that is where it all ends. Now, right now, homosexual equality is all the rage on college campuses, but that will not continue indefinitely. There are cultural swings once novelties become repugnant, once people begin to reap what they have sown. Smoking used to be socially cool. Now you're a pariah if you smoke. Drunk driving used to be tolerated. Now it's completely socially unacceptable. Now we see this in the battle of abortion. 40 years after Roe versus Wade, abortion is gradually falling out of favor. Those who practice abortion are considered the dregs of society. People who kill their children are still considered monsters. Abortion has done nothing more than to destroy families. Well, the same thing will happen with homosexuality once the public begins to reap what it has sown in this regard. It will be discovered that homosexual marriages and homosexual communities are a blight on the social landscape. Now, the image that Hollywood is trying to create right now is how wonderful gay marriage is. But that will be debunked by experience. The ABC Family Channel is working very hard to create an idealized view of homosexual couples. They label their homosexual propaganda as a new kind of family or the new normal, hoping to get American families to accept homosexuality as a healthy alternative. The show The Fosters has two lesbians raising a bunch of kids. And these lesbian women are depicted as the perfect loving parents. And all the family conflict comes not from the lesbian parents, but from those outside the family who are intolerant toward homosexuality. And that's where they get all of their laughs. The Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation has worked with the networks to portray homosexuality in a positive light. So that's where we are in the culture. But the lie will soon be exposed. How can we be sure? Romans chapter 1, verse 27. Homosexuals will receive in their own person the due penalty of their error. And the word of God is never proven wrong. Woe to the wicked, for it will go badly for them. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 11. So if anyone asks us about the gay marriage agenda, we can confidently say, it will appear to succeed in the short term, but in the long term, it will fail. And that confidence is crucial to our witness because it places the fear of God in the minds of the unbelievers. Philippians chapter 1, verse 28, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but salvation for you, and that too from God. Unbelievers are truly frightened of God. They know their end is near. So these points are some of the ramifications of this basic truth that homosexual marriage is a fiction, it's a lie. Now, I'd like to switch gears here and focus on another truth in regard to the Supreme Court ruling: the role and the limitations of government law. Law does not make a people good or bad. It only reflects what already is. Therefore, although we are concerned about this Supreme Court case, we don't think for a moment that the power to make America good or bad is vested solely in these 9 Supreme Court justices. This week, I've been reading quite a bit of C.S. Lewis, so let me quote him again. He always has such good insights on scripture and culture. In an article entitled The Transmission of Christianity, Lewis points out that a society which is predominantly Christian will propagate Christianity. All the decrees or the laws of government can't change that. And as an example, Lewis refers to Julian the Apostate. He was a Roman emperor who ruled for 2 years, from 361 to 363 AD. He is called the Apostate because even though Christianity became the legal religion of the Roman Empire 30 years prior, Julian wanted to revive paganism and banish Christianity. But Julian miserably failed at this because the spirit of the age was for Christianity, and Christian morality was cool. Now, that was a trend because the Spirit of God at that time was causing unbelievers to acquiesce to believers. Lewis's point is that government leaders don't make a people wicked. They can only follow the spirit of the age. Washington is only a lagging indicator of the culture. The Supreme Court may legalize gay marriage, but that does not mean people have to practice homosexuality. The state does not have the power to make people sin. So let's keep the recent pronouncement from the Supreme Court in perspective. Our courts, our politicians, are not the main problem. It's the values of the people. The politicians are only following the spirit of the age. So here's the question. If gay marriage is fiction and government law is not the main issue, then why do we even bother lobbying politicians to enact righteous laws and keep bad laws off the books? Well, even though I said government law is not the main issue, it is a sub-issue. It is a small part of the problem. And the reason we want government to enact righteous laws is first because they have responsibility before God, to whom they will be accountable. Second, by legalizing immorality, it encourages weak people, people on the edge, to sin. Now, we have laws on the books against immorality and drugs and alcohol to protect people from themselves. People need moral fences. And if homosexuality is normalized by the law, and if people are told by the state that homosexuality is an alternative lifestyle, many people will fall into immorality who otherwise would have had a conscience against it. The state is one of the fences that God puts up to keep us from sinning. Furthermore, we lobby the state to enact righteous laws because we understand that the legalization of homosexuality and homosexual marriage will be used to persecute the godly. More is at stake here than just two gay people loving each other. Christian businesses are going to be forced to pay benefits for gay couples. Christian businesses are already forced to hire gay people. A Christian baker was taken to court because he would not bake a cake for a gay wedding. Christians in the military will be forced to accept homosexuality because it's the law of the land. Chaplains will have to perform gay marriages. And churches that don't support homosexuality will be considered uncharitable and lose their tax-exempt status. Christian adoption agencies have already been put out of business because they will not place children with gay parents. Public schools have already begun to teach little children that same-sex marriage is morally and socially equivalent to natural marriage. Children are being taught that they can now choose their own gender. And the next big thing is bathroom equality. Then there's polygamy. If marriage is allowed for two men who love each other, why not three men? Without God's law for marriage, there is no stopping the redefinition of marriage. And actually, gay marriage really isn't about gay marriage at all. This is another aspect of the lie. Gays really don't want to be married in countries like Sweden, Once gay marriage is legalized, very few gays get married. It is really about using the law of the state to force Christians to accept homosexuality and to punish them. It is the intolerance from the homosexual community that we read about in Sodom and Gomorrah. So even though we know the limitations of government legislation, we must still work to teach and persuade our elected officials to legislate God's moral law. But the bulk of our work is in changing hearts one-on-one through the gospel. Our working with legislators is akin to 5% of our focus. Think about how little time it takes. Once a year you vote, or once a year you shoot off an email to your congressman or senator and say, "I'm against gay marriage." It might take you half an hour. It's not our primary focus, but it is our responsibility to bear the name of Christ before kings. So we've looked at the essence of gay marriage, a rebellion against God. We looked at the fact that gay marriage is really a lie. We've looked at the role of government. And now finally, what does the future hold? God's plan for the end of this age is to let the unbelievers show what's really on their hearts. You must understand this in order to process everything that is happening in the news. God is no longer causing unbelievers to give way to Christian values. It is not that the unsaved are that much worse than in other ages, but now God will not constrain them. For the last 2,000 years in the church age, God has kept down the power and the plans of the ungodly. But in these last days, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, God's restraint on evil will be taken out of the way. God will appear to be silent while allowing the wicked to be prosperous and successful. But don't take this as a sign of permission. It's a sign of God's coming wrath. It is the calm before the storm. A worldwide rebellion against God will arise. It's called the apostasy in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Homosexuality is just one facet of that rebellion. Then the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, will appear. But the world must first abandon the truth before they will naively accept the Antichrist. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, it is God himself who is sending this delusion upon the world, so that they would believe what is false in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. What we are seeing now is prophetic. So hold on to your hat. This is going to be an interesting ride over the next few years. Now, the good news in all of this bad news is that during times of opposition, we have a better opportunity to witness for Christ. The line is being drawn in the sand between the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God, and people see it. People can clearly see the difference and see the moral choice that must be made either for or against Jesus Christ. Now, in times when Christian values are part of the culture, the line between the true Christian and the fake Christian is blurred. But now choosing Christ means embracing moral positions which are unpopular with the world. But that is the eternal choice: sinful self or God in his righteousness. You have been listening to God and Country Radio. Contact us with questions, comments, suggestions through our website, godandcountryradio.org. There you can listen to this program again or other past programs. That is godandcountryradio.org. Spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for listening. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, in America's rebellion against you, bring glory to your name and to your righteousness. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know they are but men. In the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.